Probably all of us have gone to memorial services. Maybe it wasn't even the funeral itself, but it was a time of people getting together to remember the person that has died, telling things that they knew about them, maybe things that have happened. What I would like to do tonight is have a memorial service for Christ. Now, this memorial service is a little bit different. Different than any memorial service that's ever happened before in this way. This person's life didn't end with the grave. Yeah. You know, it's something. I like through the week to think from the time that he entered Jerusalem as a popular person. But you know, he knew all things. He knew that in 5 days he would be dying without anybody standing beside him to help him out. And yet he was willing to go through it. But also, he gave little clips to his disciples and others that in 3 days I'll rise again. So this memorial service, I think it's good for us often to stop and look back at the life of Christ. I would like for this to be like a memorial service of us looking back at who he was, because there's places I would like to be more like him. And you know, we could have that same thing if we went to a friend's memorial service. There are things about them that maybe we would like to have incorporated in our life as we hear things about them. So I would like for us to start with this a couple verses of that song. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me wait while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. We hear the word reminisce. Remembering and sharing the past of someone's life. And that's what I would like for us to do tonight, is to look back at Christ's life while he was here, because there are some things that are real valuable for us. One of those, and I would like also to give you an opportunity. You know, in a memorial service, it's not just one person that talks all the time. When they finish, somebody else says, you know what, I thought of something else. It's that same way with Christ. You know, I may see a part, you may see a part. So at the end of this, I'd like to give time that if you have something to add, you can add that. But I look back at just the very beginning when the angels came down to declare to the shepherds what was coming to pass. And flocks by night, you know, they could have gone to crowds of people over in Jerusalem on the holy days when it was so crowded, but that wasn't where it was chosen. Yes. It was out to just a few shepherds out in the field. You know, we look at the story of born in a manger because there wasn't room in the inn. You know, God could have made it so different, but he allowed it to be that way. Because I think what he wanted us to do was, you know, we read so many verses in the Bible that there's seven things that God hates. And one of those is pride. For us to ever come to a place that we could feel proud of ourselves, what I think we need to remember is where I came from. From dust I was, and dust I'm going to return to. So I think God, when he sent Jesus down to teach us a lesson about humility from his own son being born in a manger. And then you think how he thought when he has been born in a manger and now he's got disciples that he's mentoring and he hears them talking and picks up on what they're saying. And what was it? Who's going to be the greatest? You know, when the mother of two of them came to him and said, I'd like for one of my son to be on one side of you and one on the other. They had an expectation. We heard this morning. They had an expectation of a kingdom coming. And it says that 10 of them were filled with indignation when the other two tried to get the good spot. Now, why would that be? You know, we have the verse that says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other greater than himself. It's because all of them had a little eye on, when this thing really fires off, I'd like to be in that good spot. And so Jesus comes along and he talks to them. And I'd like for us to take a look at that in Matthew 20. Because I want to take a look back at who Christ was. You know, we had Friday was the day that we remember as him hanging on the cross. Today is the day that he rose again. But I think it's good for us to look back at his life before his life was taken. What was he trying to teach the people? This one says, right after the 10 were filled with indignation, 25th verse of the 20th chapter of Matthew, Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. They that are great exercise authority upon them. It shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. You know, so we get to come together, say this, a memorial service, and we're looking back at the life of Jesus. Surely he showed us by example a life of humility. And he says, whosoever will be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever be great, let him be your minister. Who will be chief, let him be your servant. And now he's coming down to him, 28th verse. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and give his life a ransom for many. Think of that, our song that we sang, tell me the story of Jesus. Let me, through the year, let it run through my mind. This is how Christ did it. This is how he even taught his disciples how to do it. Over in John, in the 13th chapter, because, you know, he had... You see places where he was trying to convince the people that he was the Son of God, and it seemed like he never really was able to do it. This one, I want to look at the third verse. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. And then it tells us, you know, we have a plan here in maybe a few days after the meeting that we will partake of this ordinance. Yes. Here's Jesus, the Son of God. He's going to give them a lesson that he wants them to follow out in the future. He says, I tell you what, you'll be happy if you do it. And so here he gives them instruction. He could have so easily said, okay, Peter, I'm going to give you all this instruction. Here, Peter, you get the pan and you do his feet and somebody else do another's feet. And I'm all just sitting up here in the big chair telling you about it. Is that how it was? It says he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And he goes on down, and Simon Peter had some problem with that. But Jesus, after he goes on down, after he had washed their feet, in the 12th verse, had taken his garments, was set down again, he said to them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, nor he that is sent greater than him, he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. A memorial service of remembering Jesus and what he taught while he was here before he left. You know, he realized that he didn't have very much time left. In fact, from the time of him doing this ordinance, there's few hours before he will be taken. You know, he's got the church that he's wanting to build, and he's got a few hours left to give some instruction. If you want to give instruction, what would be the best way to do it? You know, I believe there'd be some people that would say, tell you what, I got a few hours left to talk to you. Let me tell you how to do fundraisers. Let me tell you how to raise some money to make this thing really roll. Did he say that? What he's working from here is, tell you what, for this thing to take off and have anything, especially just after they've finished one wanting to be the greatest, this thing's going to collapse if he doesn't be able to pass them some instruction. So he does by example of getting down and washing their feet. And I think about for us throughout our life, Lord, may we, you know, it's more than just the one time that we do it and then we move on through life for the rest of the year. But to be able to live my life where I am esteeming others greater than myself, that I am willing to do what I can to be of help and service to others, because Christ left us that example. And we look at who Christ was, and we get just this little glimpse in John, the 17th chapter. This is really his prayer to his Father. In 17:4, he still is soon to die. I have talking to his Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had before the world was. And you know, I'm thinking of what that glory would be when he goes back after he has given his life for all of us. You know, remember the verse in Hebrews where it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Talk about shame. When he's hanging on the cross and the leaders of the Jews, the religious leaders of the Jews, tell him while he's hanging on the cross, you come down and we will believe. And he does not say a word. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he's set at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe part of that "Who for the Joy" was, if I will complete this. Remember when he said, I don't believe he just meant my life is finished. When he said it is finished and he gave up the ghost, I believe he knew right then the plan of salvation had just been completed. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And the joy that was set before him, knowing now it's available. What does it say? For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. Now it was available for everyone. And I believe that brought joy to Christ, that he had finished the work that God gave him to do. So in a memorial, remember it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. So also, if we were to go to a memorial service of somebody and we heard how kind they had been through their life to others, you know, it's good for us to leave there saying, you know what, I would like to have that as a trait in my life. Well, I look at this with Jesus, the humility that he showed when we realized who he really was, came from the Father, going back to the Father again. And yet while he was here, he showed humility. There is another song, if you could bring it up. Oh, to be like the Blessed Redeemer. So now, do we go to a memorial service and we just, well, that was spent 30 minutes listening to how that person's life was, and now I just go back to mine like regular? Well, this one, as I look back over the life of Christ, there are some things about it I'd like to pattern my life after. Here's a couple of the verses that I'd like for us to look at. Oh, to be like the Blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep in my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy fullness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep in my heart. To be able, when we leave the memorial service, that we say, you know what, I would like to be like him. Want to be able to show his traits out, you know, because he had lots of time, that lots of things that he could have said when he was silent instead. And you know, I would like to be more like him in those areas also, because sometimes we could even be witnessing to others and want to drive my point home and find that maybe I would have been better to be silent. Yes. In some areas, and ask the Lord to step in for that. Mm-hmm. Jesus left us so many an example. I want to look at Philippians, second chapter. Here's a verse that we'll start with. Should be a goal for us. Let nothing be done, third second chapter, third verse, Philippians. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Does that mean, well, I can't do it, I won't do it. I'll take the one talent that I have and I'll bury it because I esteem others. Others can do it better. I think what it does is says, you know what, I'm willing. But if the Lord uses someone else, I will be glad for that also. Let each esteem other better than themselves. But then it goes on down to the fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. You know, we look through the scriptures about Jesus, and he was not trying to build a reputation for himself. You won't be building a reputation if you take on the form of a servant. It says he took on him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, in the eighth verse, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then here's what has now happened to him, ninth verse. God hath highly exalted him. What a change from when he's hanging on the cross and they're telling him, if you be the Son of God, come down and we'll believe you. He saved others and himself he cannot save. And all of a sudden there was a switch made. God has now highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. This one puts kind of like you ought to do it, you should do it. There's other places that other places says it's going to happen. Every knee is going to bow. So he left us some examples. One of those is in 1 Peter. First Peter in the second chapter. Chapter 2 and 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, 20th verse, if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? Have you ever done that? I messed up, now I'm catching it for it, and I just take it quietly. Well, this one says, what glory is it then? But it says, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. So from this memorial service, I would like to go from here and follow in his steps. What did he say? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I kind of think of Joseph when I read these verses. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I believe we could also each one have this same verse apply to us. I believe Christ would like for us to be able to have that. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What glory is it if I have, what does it say? If when you're buffeted for your own faults, you take it patiently. You know what I'd like is for my life to bring glory to God. We have the verse that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want that to be able to happen in my life. I see that we find little clips in the Bible where it says, talking about Jesus, he said he went about doing good. Just where we can make a difference in somebody's life to be more like him. There was another place that I would say I want to be more like Christ. And that word is called compassion. You know, there are places where the disciples would look at a situation and say, you know, here's how we need to solve this. We need to send these people away. I'd like to look at a verse over in Matthew 14th chapter. Matthew 14 and 14. Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion. You know, he could easily, again, here's another big multitude. Oh, no, I am so tired. But what he did was, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick. It says, when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place. Time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said to them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. So I look about Christ, where I could look at a situation and say, this has about run its course. Remember when James and John saw that Jesus was not welcomed in the city of Samaria? And they ask him, should we not call down, what about it? You may call down fire out of heaven and destroy them. He said, the Son of Man was not come to destroy men's lives. He came to save it. We don't know what the future holds for us in America. But you know what I'd like to do is be like Christ as we go through it. Because I believe he had a care and concern for all people. And I want to be able to have that in my life. It's real easy to see the direction that people are going today and have something rise up inside, kind of like what James and John had. Must be about time for fire to come down and take care of this situation. Transgender, you're not, as you hear that word and you see the direction it's all going, let's remember there's a lot of souls involved. Yes. And ask God to look down in mercy upon them. Christ had compassion on the multitude. When he gave the story of the Good Samaritan and asking, who is my neighbor? You know, at the end of it all, he just summed it up. Go thou and do likewise. You look this story over and you go out now and do what the Good Samaritan did. So this service, though, is a little bit different because he's no longer dead, and I am so glad. What kind of memorial service can you have when you say, yeah, he was dead, like to be like him in those areas, but he's up again, he's going now. You know what, we can be so thankful. We need to be so thankful. I hear him, last Friday was called Good Friday. What is good about last Friday? Folks, if it hadn't been for last Friday, it couldn't be for this Sunday morning. Without him being willing to give his life, there would be no resurrection. So I look at the price that he paid. We celebrate this morning him coming up out of the grave. But you know what? It's more than just coming up out of the grave. It was more than that for Stephen when he was in trouble. And he looked up and he saw it. Jesus standing beside his father. Yeah. He's there. It's not just Easter morning. But what it did was he went back to his father. And I'd like for us to look at a couple verses in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, we can look at these times. It says death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15 and 54. I'm in the wrong. I say, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. But you know, because he lives, we can face our last day. Yes. Also, in 15 and 54 of the first book. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory.
Yes.
You know what, you tell the world that today, and they will say, uh-uh. I would do everything I can to stay here. You know what this one says for the Christian? There's something out ahead for us. We sing a lot of songs in our songbook to help us keep our mind on heaven. Song number 213, Pilgrim of Jesus, O'er Life's Troubles See, Courage and Onward Pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee, ever keep heaven in view. This one says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And it says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That is a time when it is sure going to be good to be able to have the victory. And when Stephen was able to see Jesus, this is what we can have available for us. In Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Hebrews 7 and 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is alive today making intercession. He was making intercession for Stephen when he needed it most. And for us to have the knowledge, I'm so thankful for this morning. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we can face our last day by the Lord's help. There is one more verse in Hebrews 4. And I am glad for this verse. Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Yes.
He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So it's telling us who Jesus was, and now it's telling us what we can do. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our times of need. I am very thankful for that. We have another song, number 264. It says, I ought. You remember over there where we said they should bow their knees? This one is telling me what I ought to do. It says, I ought to love my Savior. And that last verse, O Christ, I can but love thee. What heart could e'er withhold? A love that cost so dearly the offering of thy soul. O King of love immortal, reign in my heart alone, and flood this earthen temple with glory from thy throne. Fanny Crosby said it another way. Let me love thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er. Till my soul is lost in love in a brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me draw me closer, closer, Lord, to thee. So I am thankful to have been able this week to get quiet and think about. I like to look at each day and try to read and find, what did Jesus do in this day? And now he's moving closer to where Thursday, he's now having what we heard this morning, he's now having the supper. He's now saying, one of you will betray me. And now it's getting a little bit later Thursday evening, and he's going out to pray at the garden and what he suffered. You know, when we heard this compassion that he had, it followed him all the way to when he took his last breath. When the ear was cut off, you know, he could have said, you know what, he could have took off more than that. You better be glad that's all he got. But instead, this compassion just went right on out. It's just who he was. It wasn't something that, okay, I'm going to have to swallow my anger that I would cut loose with him and I need to do the right thing. But Jesus left us an example that we can follow in his steps. I want to be able to do that. I'm thankful, very thankful for the example that he has left for us. Does anyone have, in a memorial service, is not just for one person to talk, do you have something that stands out to you about Christ that you would like to share?
Yeah. Then he left his soul and wants to help his soul. He's not prejudiced against anybody. And his love is greater than ours. And his compassion is greater than ours.
Probably love would take a big section. His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God's love to us and Christ's love to us also. And what does it say? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Lord, help me to let it flow in and flow out to others. Mercy would take another big chunk right there. In this memorial service, if we were to go back and see the mercy that he showed, really what we could do is each one of us, if we were there, we could say, he had mercy on me. He tried to do that with, God tried to do that with Jonah. He had mercy on him when he was in the fish's stomach. And it was so easy to forget in just a few days when he was not showing mercy to the people of Nineveh. May I remember, be merciful, just like your Father, which is in heaven, is merciful. Forgiveness is probably another one that we could put a compartment there. His willing, well, he did it right at the end. But just before he said it's finished, one thing else that he said was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lord, help us to be more like Christ.